Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the first book of Samuel, the first chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Let us sing Psalter 227, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. My soul is longing, fainting, thy sacred courts to see. My heart and flesh are crying, O living God, for thee. 1, 2, and 3 of 227.
Congregation, let us first read the law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep mine commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy ways, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat the first book of Samuel, the first chapter. Then there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Sophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Suph, an Ephratite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and to her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as he continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace. And the God of Israel granted thy petition that thou had asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode, and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord had given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worship the Lord there. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who dwellest on high and we upon thy footstool, who art holy, who art separate from sinners, who art undefiled, who art righteous in all thy ways, and who art also just to punish sin, and that to a great and never-ending eternity. Lord, thou knowest how polluted, how wretched, and how sinful that we are, from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot. And we have read in this hour out of thy holy word, and who is able in this morning to put his hand into his bosom and to take it out clean. Lord, thou knowest all our wretchedness. Thou knowest all our sinfulness and who that we are as we have come up to thy house in this morning. Thou givest us this great privilege when it is from our side so undeserved. And Lord, thou knowest that from our side, that we have nothing wherewith to approach and to appear before thee in this morning hour. Oh, that thou may look upon us and that thou may remember us in this morning and in this day, in and through thine only begotten Son. Oh, how we need to be washed. Oh, how we need to be cleansed by thee, that we may be purified, that we may be forgiven, that we may be able to appear before thee in righteousness and in holiness, that we may be clothed with that white robe of righteousness of thy only begotten Son. That is our only hope. That is our only expectation and our only plea, because else we shall have to be cut off and cast away from thee to a never-ending eternity. O Lord, we ask of thee, open our eyes, because we see so little of who that we are. If we see anything, and wilt thou grant us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand, that thy word may receive a place in our hearts in this morning hour. O thou knowest if we are still in that state, and that we have been born in that state of death, wherein we have come in our father Adam, then there is nothing that goes out from our heart to the true and the living God. Then we have a form and we have a custom that has been taught to us by our parents, a great privilege. But then there is no substance that is living in our hearts. And we are so completely ignorant, though we know thy word in our mind from the beginning unto the end, that we are so ignorant of the first principles of that life that is lived unto thee. Oh, then we are dead in sins and in trespasses. Lord, then we beseech thee, because it is thy holy day, and we go with our children to a great eternity, the time that is so quickly passing by, and we go so careless over this world. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, there is but one way, there is but one hope, there is but one expectation, and that is that thou wouldst look upon us in thy mercy. Oh, we have heard it out of thy word, that the Lord did remember a Hannah. Oh, could it be that thou may remember us too? Oh, that thou wouldst be the first one in this morning to stretch out thy hand and to touch our hearts with thy finger. And when we have come up unto thy house with a heart that is as hard as that nether millstone, oh, could it please thee to come, whether we be young or whether we be old, in this hour, in this day, to touch our hearts and to make them to break. Oh, to give us a contrite spirit and a broken heart that may begin for the first time truly to mourn and to weep because of our sin, that we may feel it, that it is an evil against the living and the true God, our Creator, our benefactor, our provider. Oh, that our guilt may rise as the heavens also in our own sight, and because we do not see it or feel it by nature, but it belongeth unto thee, who art in the heavens, to send forth thy Holy Spirit, and that we may begin to believe in thee, that we may begin to believe that thou art God, that thou livest, that we may begin to see that we have sinned against thee. Oh, that we may begin to weep therefore, and that we may begin to seek a way that we may return unto thee again. Oh, that we may begin to draw nigh unto that blessed throne of grace, that there we may weep out our heart, and that we may tell thee all our trouble. Lord, thou knowest that by nature we have no such need, no such desire. Oh, that is the work of thee. To whom else, O Lord, can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. And wilt thou not continue thy church even unto the end of the world? Thou knowest, Lord, how quiet that it is. Oh, we beseech thee then, out of free and sovereign grace and on the basis of the merits of thy only begotten Son, art thou not so well pleased in him that thou wouldst send forth thy Holy Spirit in this morning, in thy house of prayer, to come and to give new life unto the dead, that we may come to a new understanding, that we may receive a new affection, a new love, a new panting, a hungering, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. Oh, take us then by heart and by hand. Show thou us the vanity of this life and everything that is so quickly passing away. Show unto us the cause of all the wretchedness and of all the misery. And give us to feel something of that missing and that thou givest in the heart of thy children. Oh, that this day may be an unforgettable day, for this one or for that one, yea, for each and every one of us. Leave not one behind as we are in the Egypt of this world, but wilt thou take us by heart and by hand, and wilt thou show to us what our state, our condition is, and how serious that it is, as we are going to that great eternity, that we are hanging, as it were, by a thread above a hell that is burning. Oh, Lord, that we can drop there into any moment in our life, that it can be the last time that we do hear, that we do bring thy word. And then we have to stand at thy judgment seat. Open thou our eyes, O God of heaven and of earth. It belongeth unto thee to reveal unto us our guilt and our sin. Oh, it belongeth unto thee to give light also unto thy children, unto those for whom it has become such an impossible way, and who do not know any more that way that they should go. For it comes to an end of the strength and of the righteousness of a man. Oh, then it is so necessary that thou wouldst appear unto them, and that thou wouldst open the windows of heaven, that thou wouldst show unto them what thou hast done from all eternity, what thou hast done in that council of peace, to make a covenant with thine only begotten Son. Oh, what thou hast done in the descending of him, what thou hast done in the fulfillment thereof, in the taking away of the guilt of the pollution of sin, in that great work that thou hast done upon that blessed cross of Calvary. Oh, open it unto those for whom that there is no way. Show unto them that thou art the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, then it shall go open, Lord, then their eyes shall see, then their hearts shall believe. Oh, then they shall leap for joy, and when their hearts may taste a little of that blessedness of thy grace, so free, so sovereign. Oh, do open thy dear Son in the life of thy children for the first time or by renewal. Take thou also each and every one of thy own who are slothful in the way of seeking thee. Lord, thou knowest they have left thee days without number. And thou knowest their hearts are so cleaving unto this world. And thou knowest that they have no ability to be the first one again. Oh, thou art the Alpha, Lord. Thou art the Alpha for the first time. Thou art the beginning also for the second time and every time by renewal. Oh, that the bride, she had to say unto thee, Lord, draw me, and then we will run after thee. And if it so may be experienced in our midst, that thy spirit may come, oh, there shall be such a great running after thee. And then it is possible that there may be a revival in our midst amongst young and old, not only in the speaking, but also in the life. Oh, then the life shall turn unto thee again. Lord, we beseech of thee for the sake of thy great and thy holy name, and because thou hast promised it unto thy only begotten Son, that thou wouldst give unto him a seed that would serve him. Oh, take us then. Oh, take us then as the seed of him, that we also may serve him for that great and never-ending eternity. Lord, wilt thou look upon all that are not able to be with us. Remember them in the places where they are this day. Thou knowest in the home or in the hospital and places where they are cared for by others. Wilt thou supply for those that are in the nursing home. Lord, thou knowest those also from the midst of us. Some they have become very, very old and may commemorate 72 years that they have been married together. But thou knowest also the difficulties and the many ailments that are come upon them. Oh, the grasshopper has become a burden, and the fears are many. Lord, we beseech thee that thou may remember her in a special way, that is become so very weak, brought to the hospital, brought back again to the nursing home. And Lord, thou knowest her fears, because she feels that death draws nigh. And then, Lord, what shall it be to appear before thee? Oh, we cannot die with all that we have in this life. Oh, we ask of thee, Lord, remember her in thy mercy. Visit her in thy grace, and her husband also, in the great need for the body and the soul together. Lord, that thou may remember all the afflicted and the sick, others that may be cared for, those that may come home again. Oh, thou knowest also others from our community receiving news that is so disheartening, because then it is heard that death that is at the door. Oh, Lord, wilt thou remember in mercy? Oh, give that cry to thee, who art the only and the great physician. Wilt thou remember all the afflicted and all the sick and all those that have special needs amongst young and old together, also among the children, the continuing needs of the body, for thou knowest where that they are. Lord, wilt thou help them, give them thy fear in their young hearts together. We heard it from thy word, and he worshipped the Lord there. He was just a little boy. Oh, Lord, may thou give it in the hearts also of our children and of our young people, and that they also may be given by thy Spirit to worship the Lord here in this day. Wilt thou look upon all thy truly sent servants, our brother and a sister congregation? He is weak. He may try to preach in this morning hour. Wilt thou help him? Wilt thou give to him his health and his strength once again, if it could please thee? And wilt thou raise him up to do the labors among his congregation, and also him that visits in our sister congregation? Lord, that thou may help him in the language of the land. Make it an easy and a loving task, and be with all thy servants over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Remember thy beloved, for the Father's sake. Oh, thou knowest the hatred, thou knowest the enmity that is against them in the hearts of so many in this world, that they would have them destroyed. Oh, that is of the prince of darkness himself, who desires to destroy them. Oh, Lord, we beseech thee, that thou would open the eyes of men, but wilt thou come also to their aid, as thou alone art able to do, and open also their own eyes for their error. Oh, show them their way, and show them thy way and give them that blessed submission under thee. Lord, we beseech thee for all the needs. Oh, we forget so much. But Lord, wilt thou be with the needy? Thou knowest what is their cry, and thou knowest what is their need. And wilt thou help in all the circumstances? Be with us in this morning. Be with us in this day. Oh, we covet thy presence. Oh, we need thy spirit. Oh, come, Lord, that we may feel something of thy favor. Show thou thy countenance. Shine thou upon us so undeservedly for the sake of thy great and for thy holy name, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 151, stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 6. O God, be merciful. Be merciful to me, for men with constant hate it would fain my ruin see, and my many enemies against me proudly fight to overwhelm my soul. They watch from morn to night. This is the second wedding announcement of Wesley Van Harberden and Janina Stouchesdyke, who hope to be married, the Lord willing, on Friday, August the 15th in the Lethbridge Church. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the Fort MacLeod Consistory and by Tuesday, August the 12th. The last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. 151, 1, 3, 4, and 6. Thank you. For this child I prayed. That was Hannah. Where is she? She is standing before the servant of the Lord. She is standing before Eli. She has stood there before. How many memories that this has brought back to Hannah. And not only to Hannah, but they are memories that will be coming back also unto Eli. Do you remember how she stood there before? Then we remember that that Eli thought she was drunken. And then she had to tell Eli how it was. That she had to say, "Nay, my Lord, you are mistaken. But I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit." That was a woman with an affliction. And then that woman, she may be given at that time to pour out all her heart and all her trouble before the Lord. And now she may stand before Eli again. Was that not a wonder? Now she may stand with a little child. And then not only to present that child before the Lord as was customary, but to leave that child there, that he may become a Nazarite unto God. Hannah, she may now tell Eli how it is. Hannah, she may now tell Eli how it was. She may now tell Eli something about what she has experienced in her life. May you ever do so. When the elders, they have come for house visitation, and they may sit with you, and they may ask you about your life, may you ever now do even as Hannah may do here, that she may tell something what has happened in her life. And then Hannah does not say, "I have received a child." No. Because for Hannah, it did not begin there. Hannah begins somewhere else. She says that something went before this child. And then we will see that something also is coming after the receiving of this child. It is our desire to consider this in this hour, out of the words of our text, which you can find in that portion that was read to you. 1 Samuel 1, verses 27, and the first part of verse 28. 1 Samuel 1, beginning with verse 27. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." So far the words of our text. The true work made evident in the life of Hannah. First, it is made evident in her prayer. "For this child I prayed." Second, it is made evident in her acknowledgement, "And the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him." Third, it is evident in her deed, "Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." Thus the true work made evident in the life of Hannah. First, evident in her prayer. Second, evident in her acknowledgement. And third, evident in her deed. For this child I prayed. Do you pray? By nature, congregation, we do not pray. Yes, we have a form of prayer. But by nature, actually, we do not pray. But God is making his people a praying people. For this child I prayed. Hannah did not forget that she prayed. Do you forget that you have prayed? How many times do we not forget that we have prayed? Then we ask the Lord maybe for rain. And the Lord gives us rain. And we have completely forgotten that we had asked the Lord for rain. Or we have been sick. And we ask for health. And the Lord gives us health. And then we completely forget that we have asked for it. Hannah did not forget that she had asked. How could she forget? Thus are there also those prayers in your life that you have not forgotten. And that you have asked the Lord, for this child I prayed. That was a child that was born out of a great need. You say she wanted a child that was temporal. No. No, we have heard a little bit, and if the Lord gives it, we hope to hear in the future a little more. How that prayer that was not just for herself, but that was something that went over the church of God. That was a cry and that was a need, that was a spiritual need in the life of this woman. Thus, that prayer that was born out of a need, that was a prayer that was born in the way of affliction. That was a prayer that was born in the way of oppression. There was an enemy. And that enemy said, you will never receive what you desire. It is impossible. Do you also know such prayers? For this child I prayed. A true prayer that is to the honor of God. Why is that to the honor of God? Because prayer that is an acknowledging of God, that is an acknowledging of the existence of God, it is an acknowledgement of the power of God. It is an acknowledgement of the mercy of God. Prayer that acknowledges God. And not only Him, but it acknowledges my weakness, my inability. It acknowledges the weakness of all the means that I have at my disposal in this world. But congregation, how much does it take to bring a man to true prayer? To humble a man to true prayer. Then what an emptying that has to take place in our life. What a stripping of all the hope and of all the expectation that is in our own strength and in all the means that we have at our disposal. It is not till they are all done. It is not till they are all gone that a man is bowing in true prayer before the Lord. For this child I prayed. True prayer that in true prayer there is a hope. There is a hope. There is a hope in God that has to be. Because there would be no prayer to God if there was no hope. Hope that is the fire that is underneath all of our endeavors. Whatever that we are doing in this world, we do it because we have some hope. If you wanted to ask your father something, children, and you knew for absolute sure, for absolute certain, that your father, he will say no, you will not bother to ask. You will not even begin. Why not? Because you say there is no hope. And when you have some thought to some great project in this world and that you know that it cannot come to fruition, then you do not begin. Man that is perishing, a man that is dying, he will not cry to the beast to help him. He will not ask a worm. Why not? Say, that is foolish. There is no hope in it. In true prayer, then there is faith. There must be. Otherwise, that prayer that does not even begin. And there is some hope. There is some expectation. Faith is necessary. The Apostle Paul, he says that he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He that cometh to God must believe that he exists. We understand that. If a man does not believe that God exists, he does not come to God. Thus, there must in the first place be a believing in the existence of God. Otherwise, that there is no beginning even of a true prayer. But the Apostle James, he says also that a man must ask in faith. What does that mean? That is not merely in believing the existence of God. But there is more. Because faith that is taking hold of the power. Of the power of God. That is the main work of that faith in prayer. unbelief is stumbling at the power of God. How is that for us? You say, I believe that God is able, but I am not sure if God is willing. Thus, I believe in the power of God. Are you sure? Because often we say this with our mouth, but is that really so? That we believe in the power of God. Because of our own selves, we do not believe in this power of God. What happens when all the means fail? What happens when there is nothing else that we can do for ourselves in this world? Do we then begin to fear? Do we then begin to become discouraged? When we are told that we have an incurable disease, supposedly. Incurable on the side of man. Then what? When Israel was in the wilderness, then the Lord said he would provide to them meat. And what was the answer of unbelief? That was, can God furnish us a table in the wilderness? Can he? Then they did not ask, will he? But they asked, can he? We read in the Bible there was a great famine. The mothers, they were eating their children. So terrible. And the Lord sent the word. And the Lord says, tomorrow, about this time, then a measure of fine wheat shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley, they shall be sold for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. What was the answer of unbelief? That man that leaned on the king's hand, he said, if the Lord should open windows in heaven, if the Lord should do a great miracle, might this thing be? Can this thing be? Is this thing possible? Does God have the power to do such a thing? What did Christ say to those 2 blind men? He said, believe ye that I am able to do this? Do you believe that? Because there was no means, there was no physician, there was no medicines for their sight. But do you believe I am able? And when that angel of God has appeared to Mary and said that she would have a son, what was her answer? What was the answer of even that slightest bit of doubt that may enter her heart? She said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? seeing that I have no husband, seeing that there are no means to it. What do we read here of Hannah? The means have fallen away. It has become for Hannah through the means alone an impossibility. And yet, where is she going? She is going on her knees to the true and to the living God. You say, what about the willingness of God? How is faith, what is the attitude of faith toward that willingness of God? We read in the Bible of a leper. He came to the Lord Jesus. He says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Thus, faith that took hold of the power of Christ. And what did faith do with the will of Christ? That faith that said, Lord, do what thou seest best. Do what thou seest right. Thus, that true faith that is not subjecting God to my will, but it is submitting itself under the will of God, believing that He will do as is best for me, but also for His own name, that He will do what is best for His own church. And we read the same in that prayer of Hannah that we heard last time. She says, when she prayed unto the Lord, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid. Thus, we see the evidence of that true work in that prayer of Hannah. And what is it? It is that hoping. It is that believing. It is that taking hold of the power of God. And at the same time, a blessed submission under His will. When all the means are failing, but there is more. We see that in her, in the second place, in her acknowledgement, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of Him. The Lord remembered Hannah. Oh, does that make your heart to burn? And the Lord remembered her congregation. That is said so simply here in the Word of God. And the Lord remembered her. Does that touch your heart? Does that make your heart to burn? Does that trigger in your heart also a cry to the Lord that you say, O Lord, that thou may also remember me? That I may be so privileged and that I also may be remembered in heaven. But now we have a question for you. And our question is this. Hannah conceived. Thus, she was with child. We ask you, was Hannah surprised? What do you think? Was Hannah surprised when she conceived a child? No, she was not. She was not at all surprised. No, this she was fully expecting. This she was looking for, this she was waiting for from day to day. That is why we heard that her countenance that was no more sad. How is that? How is that now? That woman, after she has prayed unto the Lord, that she has fully expected to receive a favorable answer. Did that ever happen in your life? How is it? That is, congregation, something extraordinary. That is something that is very special. And that is happening sometimes in the life of God's children, when they may be given to live a close life unto the Lord, then when they may come to the Lord in their great need, when they may be privileged to come in that way of true faith that is hoping upon the power of God, and when they may be given to experience something with a testimony in their heart that their supplication, their desire, their petition of the Lord, that is a petition that is in agreement with the will of God. So that the Lord is pouring out in that moment something of his love, so that they may experience in that moment a little of that blessed communion with him. And they may receive a testimony in their heart that there is not iniquity in their petition. We read that actually two places in the Word of God. How that David, he makes a connection between the pureness of the supplication, the testimony of that pureness within, and the certainty of an answer. You can read that when you come home, boys and girls. There are two psalms easy to remember, Psalm 66 and Psalm 6. Thus, in Psalm 66, then David says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard my prayer. The Lord hath heard the voice of my supplication. Thus, when there is that separation in a conscious way from iniquity, that is, that it has something to do with the pureness of the desire, that it is in accordance with that will of God, that it is for the honor of the name of the Lord. Then there is a stamp. Then there is an approval that the Lord is giving in the heart of his servant. In Psalm 6, David says, "Depart from me, all ye that work iniquity, for the Lord," he says, "hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer." Thus, a special privilege. And that was the privilege that Hannah may experience in that supplication in the temple of the Lord before Eli. And now she says, "And the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him." That was the testimony of Hannah. What did she know? She knew from where her blessings came. She was so sure. There was no question in her mind from where she has received this gift, congregation. How many blessings do we realize come from the Lord? You say they all come from the Lord. That is right. And we say it with our lips. But do we feel it in our heart? Thus, we ask for rain, and the Lord gives rain. And how is that then? Young people, how is it then? Do we say that is from the Lord? Or do we say that is just natural? Thus you are sick and you ask the Lord to make you better. And the Lord gives you health. And then what? And then we say, "Well, I was given this medication. Yes, it was a very good doctor. Then you ask the Lord for prosperity. And the Lord gives us prosperity. And then we say, "Yes, we have worked very hard." Congregation, God cannot receive the honor. God does not receive the honor. The best that we give unto him is the service of our lips. And it is all hypocrisy. But what did Hannah say? She says, "And the Lord hath given me my petition that I have asked of him." What do you think? Lip service? You say no. No. No, Hannah knew. So certainly, so surely, from where that her blessing had come. How is that possible? There is only one way. We need to come to the end of our means in order for this to happen in our life. God, he cannot come to his honor unless man is cut off. God cannot come to his honor unless man has lost his strength, unless man has lost his wisdom, unless man has lost all of his own righteousness, God cannot receive his honor. Samson. He says, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of an ass, I've slain 1,000 men. I have slain 1,000 men. And then the Lord had to instruct him. And he made him sore of thirst. He would die just for lack of a little water. And then what did Samson say? And then he turned it right around. He says, O Lord, thou hast given this great deliverance. God is jealous of his honor. And God is going to receive his honor. He is going to receive his honor from every one of his children. Do you know what they're going to say? They're going to say with Hannah, the Lord hath given me the petition that I have asked of him. They're going to say this, beginning here in the time. They are going to say this congregation to all eternity. But in order for them to say this, then they will have to be led in that same way as Hannah. When all the means fail, and everything from man's side is taken away. Do you know what Hannah named that child? Samuel. Do you know what that means? Asked of God. That woman desired every time she saw that child. She desired every time that she would call that child by his name. That she would remember again that I have asked this child and that I have received this child of the Lord. And now there is a people that they will, to all eternity, they will remember that it was asked and that it was received by God. Let us sing 88. The Lord I will at all times bless, in praise my mouth employ. My soul shall in Jehovah boast. The meek shall hear with joy. 1, 2, and 3 of 88. Thank you. for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. That is our third thought, that true work evident in the deed of Hannah. That is, it is evident in the fruits. It is not only the words. And if it is not evident, congregation, in the fruits of our life, it is just hypocrisy. Most of the time, that true work that is evident in the deeds, before that it is evident in the words, before that people are able to speak about it with their mouth. You say, I read here that Hannah went not up unto the house of the Lord. How is that now the deed? Because God's children, they want to go up to God's house. That is true. That is true. How easily can you stay away? Because David, his heart mourned when he could not be in the house of the Lord. And yet, congregation, then there are sometimes circumstances by which that people, they are detained from that house of the Lord. They are circumstances that the Lord is bringing upon them. Sickness, weakness, a child, whatever that it may be. Does the Lord know also your case? There is a time for everything. And when that time is ripe, then Hannah, she is found once again in the Lord's house. And what is she found with? She is found with sacrifices. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. We don't know exactly. We are not told what kind of sacrifices that these were for. We have heard of many different kinds of sacrifices. Right, boys and girls? The sin offering, the trespass offering. We have heard of free will offerings. And we have heard of that whole burnt offering of the peace offering, the red heifer offering. Do you still remember? I think that at least one of those bullocks, do you not think so too, that was meant for a whole burnt offering? Why? Because that is now the purpose of Hannah, to bring that child and to dedicate him unto the Lord. And you will remember that that whole burnt offering, that was an offering that signified dedication. But there was also something propitiatory in it. And Hannah, oh, she must have felt also her need of this. Why? She had a vow. And she had now to fulfill that vow. But you understand that Hannah was a human being. And that Hannah had also the very tender heart of a mother. And Hannah, she was a woman that did mourn for the condition of the church of God. And she had now to leave that little child with Eli. And she had to leave that child not only with Eli, but she had to leave him with his sons. And we know that those sons, they were very wicked. And now to leave that child in that place so completely in the care of the Lord, that was no small act of faith. And you can understand that that woman, the fleshly heart of that woman, that had many things that were coming against her in the fulfillment of her vow. And therefore, the most holy duties in the life of God's children, they do feel over and over again. They so stand in need of that cleansing blood of that blessed mediator. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And so she is standing there. She is standing there with her child before the man of God. Do you think he knew her? Probably not. Because it has been a few years. We don't know exactly how old Samuel was. But it has at least been a few years since that he has seen her. And so Hannah tells Eli who she is. What does she say, boys and girls? She says, "I'm Hannah." Well, he will not know who Hannah is. "I am one of the wives of Elkanah." Maybe. That Eli might know. She doesn't say this. What does she say? We read it. And she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord." That is her identification. That Eli may know who that she is. She remembered it. But she felt that Eli, he was going to remember it too. And he did. Why? Oh, that man cannot forget it. Because there was upon himself shame. But there was also in that moment a heart that was knit unto that woman. Oh, what a wonder that this must have been. When Eli, he may now see this woman standing here. "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him." Oh, what a wonder. When he may hear how it was in the life of that woman. Oh, when he may go back once again to years ago. And when his heart, that was also knit with that woman. And when he may see her now standing there with her child. Because congregation, the times that they were living in, they were so bad. And then there was so much declension in that church of God. Oh, how that heart of Eli, that must have leaped for joy. And when it may hear the testimony of that woman. And when it may view something. And when it may feel something. Of the work of God. The work of the Spirit of the Lord. In the times wherein he was living. Oh, he had made a mistake. But he himself. He may be an instrument also in the hands of the Lord with his work of the Lord that he was doing. But that is not all. Because that woman may now tell how it went in her life, that may so strike with that heart of the servant of the Lord, that he may be so glad. But now he hears yet something more from this woman. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent unto the Lord. Oh, what must have been for that man to hear how it went in her life, to hear the vow that she has vowed, to hear the fulfillment on the side of the Lord, to hear what it is against all flesh and blood that this woman is coming now to pay her vow, and to see now that woman that she bends over and she gives her child, her beloved son, that is so close to her heart, that is the dearness of her flesh, or that she embraces him, that she kisses him, and that she leaves him behind. Oh, what a hope, what an expectation that must have given in the heart of this old priest of the Lord, that the Lord was still going to look upon his church, and that the Lord was still going to do something for his people. Therefore, also I have lent him to the Lord. Wherefore, she says, because I have received him from the Lord. And then she goes back. She says, that was my desire when I have asked him of the Lord. And it is still my desire, though it is so painful for my flesh, and that I may give now this my child over unto the Lord. O congregation, we say the work of the Lord that is made evident in that life of Hannah is now that work of the Lord also made evident in your life. Oh, how far can you come along with this woman? Oh, do you begin in your life with the beginning as it was in the life of a Hannah? Or is there then a need felt in your life? Do you know something of that affliction? Do you know something that of that oppression? Do you know something of that speaking of that enemy? That it will never, never be fulfilled in your life? Or do you know something of that stripping work of the Lord? That the Lord, he is bringing everything from your side, all to nothing. Oh, do you know something what it is with that woman to go unto the house of the Lord and there to lay your needs before him or in your inner chamber? Oh, with one hope, with one expectation to say, Lord, thou art able. Oh, do you know something what it is? And to submit yourself to the will of the Lord. Oh, do you even maybe know something? What it is as Hannah may experience in her life. And that the Lord gave that her countenance may be no more sad. And that she may believe that the Lord would take over her case for her. Oh, how far can we come as we look in that life of Hannah? Oh, do we know something of that blessed acknowledgement of Hannah, where Hannah must say, may say, with all her heart, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given to me that petition that I have asked of him. Oh, do we know what it is to call those blessings Samuel? Asked of the Lord, received of the Lord, that is a taste, congregation. That is a taste of what that people will be doing forever and forever and forever in eternity to glorify and to magnify the Lord for his sovereign, for his one-sided work for a power that comes all from him in his mercy for a wretched, for a polluted, for an undeserving creature. Do we know something? Because it comes out in our deeds. Oh, how short, people of the Lord. Because she says, therefore, have I lent him to the Lord. Oh, do you know something of this? We have food and drink this morning. For what? Does the Lord give that to you? To me? So we may serve this world. Or that we may return it unto him. The Lord gives to us our strength. What do you do with that, children? What do you do with your strength? Hannah says, I asked it of the Lord. And now she says, I give it back to him. Is that not why we were created? The Lord gives you your life. Maybe you thought that it would come to an end when you lay once on a sick bed. Then you have asked it of the Lord. And the Lord gave it to you. Then did you say, the Lord hath given me the petition that I have asked of him. And not only that, but does it go further? Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. Therefore my life that is not my own anymore. Therefore, my life that is no longer for the service of this world. The Lord gave us our children. The Lord gave us our time. Congregation, we can go on and on. Do you know what the Lord says of the wicked? God is not in all their thoughts. How is it with us? Take that home with you. God is not in all their thoughts. Say, Lord, convert me. Convert me. Convert me. How is it, people of the Lord, you receive the blessings, the greatest blessings that a man can receive in this world? How is it? Is your treasure in heaven? That your heart may be there also? Do you forsake the world and every former friend? Do you know what the Lord complains of his people? He says the ox knows his owner. And he asks his master's crib, but my people doth not consider. Oh, that the Lord would make you, even as this Hannah, in the fulfillment of her vow. Psalmist, he says, what shall I render? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Hannah says, therefore, I have lent him unto the Lord. Read what it says in the margin. He whom I have obtained by petition shall be returned. Shall be returned. I will give it back. She says it two times. She doubles it over. That is the desire of her heart. Oh, the Lord, give to us understanding hearts Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, a few moments we may be round thy word of truth. Thou givest a little that we may bring forth in this morning, and we may acknowledge thee. Forgive all our sins and wash us in that cleansing blood of thy dear Son, and cause our hearts to see all thy gifts and blessings. Make us ashamed of ourselves. Turn us again. Lord, convert us. And wilt thou bring us safely home with desire in thy house in this afternoon. Help him that will go before us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 175. 1, 2, and 3. Come, all ye people, bless our God, and tell his glorious praise abroad, who holds our soul in life. And what follows? 1, 2, and 3 of 175. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.